Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the facts, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, I wonder, did you ever choose not to? The end you always feared is coming, and the blood will be on your hands. The fallout of all your good intentions.
That's from the trailer for the movie Mission Impossible Fallout. Its star, of course, is the star of all stars, Tom Cruise, doing his own stunts in this film. And as he travels around promoting it, he does so with a story about even breaking his ankle while filming the movie, but he just keeps going. Is Tom Cruise's now famous or infamous theology, he is a Scientologist, perhaps the most famous Scientologist there is, does it find its way into his action movie, his latest blockbuster, Mission Impossible Fallout? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to review the movie Mission Impossible Fallout, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that Tom Cruise, the star of this, the real star of this film, his theology might be driving the content of Mission Impossible Fallout. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's kind of a big part of it. I don't know what you, but like there was a point along the way where I kind of stopped watching Tom Cruise movies because I had a hard time separating out Tom Cruise, the person, from Tom Cruise, the movie star. But then I look at movies he's done recently, and I've actually seen quite a few of them, even though I'm kind of actively trying not to. But mostly that's because of this kind of persona that he has that kind of seeps into everything. It's kind of like Tom Cruise in whenever you're watching something, it's like really Tom Cruise. And this kind of goes back to his Scientology, where he's like right near the very top of the whole list of Scientologists. He's what they would call, I think, an operating Thetan within their scheme of things. He's gone clear. He, you know, in terms of that way of thinking, the way they look at that is that he's on the path towards being something called Homo Novus, the new man. So it's kind of like an evolutionary journey that a person is on. And, you know, he's dealt with his quote unquote reactive mind, and he's got his analytical mind now working, and he can like deal with things, and it's supposed to like do stuff like make your ears stop ringing and you improve your eyesight and increase your IQ and all sorts of things like that. So he's basically like in his own mind, and I think he believes his own press on this and everybody around him within Scientology, that he's almost like a superhuman person, like he's godlike, as it were. And he has this force of will that he brings to bear on people, including the director of the film, this McCurry, and just everybody that he runs into. Like, he just gets his way. So when he went to make this new Mission Impossible movie, he's almost like a cuckoo bird, kind of like getting into the nest. So it's not really so much that this is a Mission Impossible movie as first and foremost, the cuckoo bird has grown up, pushed the eggs out, and it's a Tom Cruise movie that happens to be a Mission Impossible movie. So he just has like so much creative control that his fingerprints are all over it. And the reason he has that creative control is because of his place within Scientology and his views of himself.
Tom Cruise is 2 years older than me. And in this film, he is doing his own stunts. In fact, you say he insists upon doing his own stunts. And I did not know this, but apparently the movie itself is actually built around the stunts rather than around a story. How is that?
Well, this is the thing. He, like the director, McCurry says, who's also the writer, says that this movie is made from the edges in. So, you know, first job is Tom Cruise says, I want to do these three major stunts. So this motorcycle thing, this halo, the high altitude, low opening jump kind of a deal, like parachuting, and this helicopter chase. So then the rest of the movie is kind of built around those. So they have to kind of, they become the immovable objects that you have to build the movie around. And he does this for two, like you could look at this in two ways. So him doing the stunt, on the one hand, is this kind of vanity kind of thing where he just wants to do these things. On the other side, he knows that it's more entertaining to see the actual actor do it instead of having a stunt actor. So he's basically the stunt man for the movie. So think Jackie Chan, right? Because Jackie Chan did a lot of his own stunts too with the martial arts stuff. So this is kind of where that goes. But like you were saying, you know, he's 2 years older than you. Or are you you're 2 years older than him?
No, he's 2 years older than me.
He's 2 years older than you. Yeah. Now, if you broke your ankle jumping from one building to another building, and the doctor told you it's going to take 9 months and you may never run again, what would be your response to that?
I wouldn't have a response. I'd probably be unconscious.
Probably. So, I mean, he says, I don't have time for that. And in 6 months, he's on his feet with no cast or anything. And he's finishing the movie, running around, doing stuff. And he would probably look at that and say, see, that's evidence of what Scientology does for people if you do it right. Right? This is the kind of guy he is. So in the end, what does it do? Like this Mission Impossible movie, all of these stunts and stuff, all of it is just an excuse for the stunts. Like any of the story, the plot, all the rest of it is not even very super important. But, you know, like he's trying to make something super duper entertaining, and it is. It's a lot of fun, and it is like probably one of the best action films you're going to see this year for sure, and probably in any number of years as well. But he's so dangerous, like he's so reckless. The other part of it, when you're watching it, you're thinking to yourself, how do you insure that guy? Is he even insurable would be the question. Like the movie cost $180 million to make. Is he insured for $200 million? I don't know. But you watch it and you think to yourself, he's going to die doing these. He's tempting fate, as it were, because, you know, like either he is what Scientology says he is, you know, and even if he does die, then he just goes on to do more research and, like they say about L. Ron Hubbard, right? So he just shuffles things off and continues with his Scientology business. But of course, I don't know what you like. What do you think about this? Like, this is to me, there was when he broke his ankle. Like, they actually have that part in the movie. There was an audible gasp in the theater. There was not just one person, but a number of people found it very distressing because it was instantly recognizable as like really real and visceral. So the thing about watching a movie like this is that you bring with you everything about Tom Cruise that you know into the theater as you're watching it.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We are reviewing the movie Mission Impossible: Fallout. When we come back, does Tom Cruise's Scientology find its way into the plot in other ways? Stay tuned. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We are reviewing the movie Mission Impossible Fallout on Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, let's talk a little bit more about Cruise's Scientology as it may find its way actually into the plot such as it is of this film. You say that when the characters of the villains here appear, they may well reflect Tom Cruise's Scientological worldview. How is that?
When we went to see the movie, my wife and I went and saw the movie, and it occurred to me while we were watching the movie, I thought that she had seen the previous Mission Impossible movie. But she'd actually seen the Ghost Protocol one, which was the one before that. So they have a bunch of recurring stuff from this previous one that he'd done called Rogue Nation in 2015. And I saw it on parts of it on TV, but she didn't see any of it. It didn't really actually matter. But the thing is that in that movie, Rogue Nation, it was the villains were called the Syndicate, and they were all being run by this Solomon Lane character. And he returns, but the Syndicate is now morphed and changed into something called the Apostles. And as soon as you hear that, like this is in the first 15 minutes of the movie, the name the Apostles gets dropped like dozens of times in the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie. As soon as you hear that, I mean, when you have like an apostle is somebody who's got a mission, right? So, I mean, on the broad kind of linguistic spectrum of things, it's understandable. But when you put the definite article in front, the apostles, now you've got like a pretty much this is a New Testament term that's used for those specific guys that Jesus handpicked to send out on the mission of starting the church, right? So there's a very Christian element to it. They're not Christians, but they have the name, the apostles. In the context of the film, these guys are anti-religion, anti-government, anti-law, and they're anarchists who want to overthrow the world. They want to detonate 3 nuclear bombs. They have a manifesto, and they want to blow them up at the Vatican, Jerusalem, and Mecca, because to create this great suffering that from which they could have peace. So all of a sudden you see that there's quite a bit of stuff going on in there. And of course, like, Scientology looks at all of those previous religions as something that Scientology supersedes, that it gets past all of that, that's old stuff, that it's actually fragments hanging on from a previous planet under an intergalactic, you know, Xenu and all of the rest of it. And that it's that Jesus and all of these things, there may be good things about it, but it's a cul-de-sac, it's a dead end, it's not getting you where you need to be. You have to do the Dianetics thing, you have to go clear, et cetera, et cetera. So when you see Christianity come up specifically in the plot in a way that ties it with terrorism, and you know that Tom Cruise's fingerprints are all over this, and that he gets his way often, then I don't know. Like, I really looked to try to find the thing where the director or somebody said why they changed the name of the villains from the previous movie, The Syndicate, to the Apostles in this film. And that I just can't find any answers. If I could ask McCurry, if I could ask Cruise that question, I would be really interested to hear an answer. So right now, all I've got is the movie itself and questions about that.
So is Mission Impossible Fallout not just a peek, but perhaps a 2-hour panoramic view into the megalomania of Tom Cruise?
Maybe. I listened to this really fascinating 2-hour-plus interview with the director. And he went into all the details of, like, making the film and all the rest of it. And you do see this. It was on a podcast called The Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith. And you see his megalomania, his charisma, his will, sheer will, coming out in every aspect of making the film. And it's short of having the character be a Scientologist, right? Like, it could almost be, if you were connecting the very few dots that are there, you could see where this is the end, like, this character is the end goal of what a Scientologist should be, right? I think. So you can watch the movie just as total action, and that's great. But yeah, this is almost like a 2-hour-plus promo video for Scientology. And the weird part is that all of the press junkets, most of the stuff that's being written about it, doesn't bring up his Scientology at all. And that may seem totally irrelevant. But then the question I have is it completely irrelevant? I think that it isn't. I think that it's part of it.
There was a movie, and I don't know if you ever saw this one. If you haven't, don't. Called Battlefield Earth. Do you remember Battlefield
Yes,
Earth?
Yes, I do remember that.
From year 2000.
And that was an on-the-nose Scientologist movie.
That was John Travolta.
Yes, yeah.
Attempting to, I think, show people how cool the backstory of Scientology really is through this sci-fi film. But it was an awful, awful movie. It was probably one of the worst movies ever put on film.
It often gets in lists of the worst films ever made. And it was supposed to be part one of, like, a series of movies. Like, people are just going to eat this up with a spoon. And of course, you know, they didn't, because it's just so terrible. It's almost so terrible that, well, it's not one of those so terrible it's fun. Like, it just is, like, pretty darn terrible. So this is probably a better way of going about it than a movie like Battlefield Earth. I mean, if you're going to, you know, draw people in to this idea, And right now, I mean, like Scientology, have you watched that Leah Remini show like that? That's on, like, I think it's on A&E or something, where she actually interviews people and people are like leaving Scientology and they're talking about it.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend it if people haven't checked it out. Like, that is a super interesting show, and they've got big problems inside Scientology. Tom Cruise is not one of the big problems. He is a messiah-like character within Scientology. And if Miscavige guy, if he was to die and Tom Cruise was still around, I imagine that Tom Cruise would become the new L. Ron Hubbard. He would become the new guy. I bet. Like, they would just hand him the keys to the kingdom and say, go with it. Like, I'm guessing. That's my prediction.
What, if any, pastoral concerns do you have about this film? This is a film that's going to be aimed at men, largely, and probably either genuinely adolescent men or men who have prolonged their adolescence into adulthood.
It's PG-13, so there's some violence, there's some intense sequences and stuff like that. There is one positive thing, though, and that's where, and they kind of point this out and they talk about it and it comes up at different points, is that the character of Ethan Hunt, that Tom Cruise plays, and his team, this Mission Impossible team, they are just as concerned with saving one life as they are with saving piles of lives. So in a way, there's kind of like a pro-life almost message hidden away in there that you could like kind of find. But overall, you know, like, I think that it would be just very, very intense for a small kid, and probably, I don't know, there's like one too many twists and turns in it for anybody to really follow if they were a little kid. And really, it's past what they would want. So, I mean, for older people, watch it. But, you know, just keep in mind, if you have the ability to like just shut it all off and just like, it's just Tom Cruise and I'm not even thinking about it, well, good for you. But, you know, keep in mind this Scientology idea, because this idea of the Novus, the Homo Novus, this perfect man kind of a thing, this is not possible. And it should already be clear that this is Mission Impossible, but it really is. You know, and Tom Cruise is quite the character. I think he thinks he's doing it.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of Mission Impossible Fallout under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a Christian response to panhandlers. Should it be that guy's just a con man, or that guy and all of them are simply victims? We'll talk about that with Pastor Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission, after this. Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During August, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Lutheran Education Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
When you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," what do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness. With articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread, you're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions, and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.